So, because this weather is so amazing, I just feel extra cool this morning. I don't know what the word is, but one thing that I'm really, really excited for, and I cannot wait. I've only been in America for 5 years now. 5 years, January, 5 years in America, and and I think. What I'm really looking, I've learned a lot about the culture and especially the sport. So what I'm looking forward to most is next Sunday we have the New England Patriots who are going to beat the Philadelphia Eagles in next week's Stanley Cup final. So I am excited. I'm sorry. I meant the World Series. Super Bowl. Sorry. So I am looking forward to that. I cannot wait. It's going to be awesome. Go New England Patriots. Yep. Nope. Kidding. I'm just kidding. But seriously, I'm really excited to be here today, this morning. I just came back from a conference in Phoenix. I went down with Nikki, who's our kids pastor, and Luke, one of the lead pastors here. And it was amazing. We had a grueling schedule. It was 2 days, Tuesday and Wednesday, 8 to 5 o'clock every day with a 45-minute lunch break. And they were running on military time. They do not start one. I mean, if you've noticed, we run according to a thing called Vineyard Standard Time sometimes, and they did not. So we were not used to it, okay? But it was awesome. We just got like a fire hose of information, and that we are going to take a long time to digest. But the thing that I took away from it most was Phil Stroud's talk. Phil Stroud is our national director, and you actually saw him in the announcement. And he just gave an amazing talk. But before I tell you about that, I just have to show you just how much I graduated. I just did my master's, okay? And this is what they made us do during this thing. Like, that's how much notes and information they gave us. And I was like, why am I doing this again? I just graduated and I'm back in class. But it was amazing. And Phil Stroud, our national director, he gave a talk, and it was definitely the takeaway for me. When you sit in stuff and you just something pops out at you, something highlights to you that you just know that it was God speaking. And he is experienced, like he's been in ministry nearly his whole life. When he was born into ministry pretty much. And he just said, in a church, you have to have two engines running. You have to have the engine that's the organization that's goal is to reach people, it's to reach the lost, the people that have not come to know Jesus. And he said, you've also got to make sure your other engine is running strong. And that's the engine that's checking in to see how you're doing. How is your soul doing? How is the inside of the cup doing, right? How is our inner life doing? There's so much stuff that's constantly happening all the time in our lives, even in the church. There's lots of things always happening. But if we don't actually stop and pause and find out how we are doing with ourselves as well as those around us, that engine's going to go. And as many of you know, I don't know if any of you have been in an engine where one of the engines have blown. Anyone here? Well, no, because you're still with us. Oh, you have? You too? It's not fun, right? Okay, cool. So we want to have fun. And so he just sort of said, all because we were with a whole bunch of other churches that were growing. And he said, guys, as much as you're growing, you've got to make sure that you're checking in. And so that was the big takeaway for me. And there was some other really, really cool stuff. But, on the way to the airport, and we were walking through the airport on Wednesday night, it was like 9 o'clock in the evening, and we pretty much looked like zombies. We were like Nikki, Luke. Actually, I remember I was walking next to Luke, and we were literally just like going like this. And I think I said, like when you're so tired, you almost like feel like you're high, right? And you almost like you see things and you just like don't make sense at all. You make zero sense. And so I was like, yeah, airports are magical, man. I don't know why. I just saw like these, I walked past these two guys, this one guy that that had like these weird glasses, weird scarf, and then this other the guy sitting next to him at the bar was like just a business dude. And I was like, you only see that at airports. And this was Luke's exact response. Yeah. And we just carried on walking, and I'm pretty sure that we came up with a plan to save the world, and I can't remember any of it. That's how tired we were. And so we were just like zombies walking through the airport, and then we landed, and I don't know, the first conference I went to when I came to the Vineyard was back in July, and we went to a scholars conference, Luke and myself, and when we landed, we came into San Francisco Airport. And Luke had to preach the next day, and so he was like, Wesley, can you drive? And I was like, yeah, sure. And so we were driving, and Luke was not working on his sermon, by the way, the night before he was preaching. He already wrapped that up. But we were driving, and I stopped about three times to sleep. And the one time we stopped at a Shell gas station, and I probably passed out for like 30 minutes. Luke woke up, and he was like, are we in Red Bluff? He was like looking around. He was so dazed and confused. He was like, where are we? And I was passed out, like snoring. And he was like, oh, no. So he's never let me live that down. And I'm pretty sure he will mention it multiple times forever. And so anyways, I was like, we landed in Sacramento. And Nikki, we drove in Nikki's car, parked it there at the airport. And I was like, this is my chance to redeem myself. I was like, I'm ready to go. But we had a full day. And as most of you know, I like my naps. And I like to sleep, and so I need my 20-minute nap a day, and I did not have it that day. But just on a side note, did you know that most successful people have 20-minute naps a day? So I'm not trying to say anything. Or like, for instance, did any of you know Elon Musk, right? Very famous dude, director of Tesla. Anyway, he is also South African. He also sleeps for 20 minutes a day, and he also lives in America. And I'm not trying to say that I'm Elon Musk, but anyways, moving on. So we landed, and I was like, this is my chance to redeem myself. I was like, Nikki, that's cool, I got it, you're tired, I'll drive. I was, and Luke was... Hi. Hello. Can you hear me? Okay, cool. All right. So Luke was laughing in the background, and he was like, okay, yep, we'll see. Okay, cool. And I was like, I was going to prove the haters wrong, and by haters, I meant Luke. And so he was laughing. Nikki was like, cool. And anyway, the point of this story is 10 minutes in, Nikki had to take over, and she drove the rest of the way home. There will be a day, though. And that day, angels will be singing in heaven. But over those 2 days, we learned a ton. And I think Luke, Nikki, and myself have come back super revitalized, super... We were just really excited. Like, we were both like, we couldn't get back and start immediately getting to work, right? We were just like, God is doing so much. We were affirmed in so much that we were doing just by hearing those stories and just by... the information we got, we felt like, oh my gosh, there's so much that we're going to do, but we're doing so many good things already, and we're doing the right things. And so it was just, it was really, really, really good. And it was such a good affirmation. And, you know, the thing with pastors is that they actually said this in the conference. They were like, the best encouragement for pastors is hearing other pastors suffer. But it's true. It's like, they were like, when pastors are honest about how they're doing and stuff and the struggles they're having, it's like other pastors feel encouraged because they're like, oh, I'm not the only one. But Luke and Nikki and I were like, we're good. We're like, we don't have that problem right now. And then all the other pastors were just looking at us and, you know, like when the daggers are staring at you and they were like, shut up, you know, and we're like, sorry. But we just came back, we're just like full of life, and we are so thankful for this community. You know, everyone that serves on a team, all the leaders, everyone that is just part of this mission that we have here in Red Bluff, we were just like, wow, we've got something really amazing happening here. And we just came back going, you know what, we really believe in our mission here, and we really believe God is doing something. Do you mind if I do this? Do you mind if I just like stop before I go? I really want to pray. I would love to pray again because I want the Holy Spirit to be guiding this. And so, Holy Spirit, we just welcome you right now. And I just ask that you use me in this place to speak through me, to speak to people today. That we just ask that your presence come, that people hear your gospel, they hear your love for them. That we leave today engaging in your mission. And we just say, welcome, Holy Spirit. And we say, come. And we say, let you lead this. Amen. Cool. So how many of you are sick and tired of us talking about our mission? You can be completely honest. Yep. Okay, cool. Only one person. Okay, so we are not doing our job. Because when we are doing our job, we hope that you get sick and tired of us talking about our mission every week. Who knows our mission? Knowing Jesus and making him known. And there's a reason why we always emphasize this, is because everything comes back to this, right? Everything we do when we're planning events, when we're planning training sessions, everything we do is through the lens of this. If it doesn't fit with our mission, it goes out the door, right? Because we need to know where we are going, and the vision helps us. Our vision is to see the world transformed starting here in Red Bluff, and our mission is to know Jesus and make him known. And amen, yeah, amen. And so, like, we are constantly, every leadership training we have, every event we have is tied in with this, and we're always going to talk about it. Because what happens is when a community gets together around this mission to know Jesus and make him known, lives are changed. And that's what we want to see here. We want to see people who have never experienced God's love come to know God's love. And it's the same system that Phil was talking about, the two-engine system, right? Right, in order to make Jesus known, we need to know him ourselves, right? And that's part of like loving God, like the commandment to love God and love others is exactly this, because we can't love others if we don't know the love of God ourselves first. Right, and we can't invite people into that space if we don't know the love of God ourselves first, because what are we inviting them into then? Right, and so we're always going to emphasize this because the buck stops here. Right, this is where it stops. And so we hope that you do get sick and tired of it, because that means we're doing our job. So hold on, okay? And who of you have been here for part of this month? Don't raise your hands, but Luke's been doing a fantastic series on casting vision for 2018 specifically. For the past 3 weeks, he's really captured us in just sort of guiding us in where we are going this year as a community. And how many of you can remember the three things that we're doing? They all start with more. The number one was more Jesus, right? So that pretty much goes in line with knowing him and making him known, because if we don't have more of Jesus, we're going to have more of nothing else. Right? It's as simple as that. And so we're always going to place Jesus at the center of everything we're doing as a community. Second one, more mission. Yep, Jerry said more coffee. And I was like, well, that's part of our mission. I was like, he's got a point there. And our mission is coffee, a big part of it. I mean, people come because of the coffee, right? I'm pretty sure three quarters of our church would decrease if we didn't have coffee on a Sunday morning. And that's just like the biggest like decrease to my ego ever and Luke's. It's like if the coffee wasn't here, it's not about us. It's about the coffee actually. More Jesus, more mission, and the third one, more growth. Okay, and this again, I want to emphasize this again, the two-engine system here, personal and corporate. Right? If we are growing only corporately, community-wise, without the personal growth happening in each side, in each one of us, there's going to be an imbalance. And so we've always got to keep that tension going. It's the both and tension. We both want to grow personally and we want to grow corporately. And so that will always be in play. And something weird happened last night, but God really spoke to me in a dream. God normally doesn't speak to me in dreams, but this was a dream, man. Like, I was like, I woke up and I was like, this is God. And anyways, it was weird. I'm still processing it, but I really felt like God was saying we need to add in this fourth one before the vision series ends. And it had to do, less fishing. I don't know why. I don't know. Like, don't come to me and talk about it. I don't know. I'm just being obedient to God. And it was like, God was sort of like, yeah, we've got way too much more going. So something needs to give way. Anyways, I don't know. It's just weird. Okay, moving on. Oh, Jack, you're amazing. Okay, so every single time I forget that I'm human and I need water, and because I didn't grow up with water in Africa, I'm just like, okay, I can make that joke because I'm from there. So now that you'll know what our mission is, if you didn't know it, now you do. And so we really feel like God is calling us to raise up leaders as well. There's something that I learned today. How many of you have heard of lag goals and lead goals? Lag goals, lead goals. Awesome. I learned about it for the first time this weekend, and they emphasized the importance of knowing what your lag goals are. And your lag goals are sort of your big picture stuff. That's sort of like what we're heading for. So that would be like the three things: more Jesus, more mission, more growth, all of that sort of stuff. And they were like, but your lead goals are the goals that are going to make those goals happen, right? They're the stuff that you've got to put in place for that to happen. And, you know, a scripture that comes with this is Proverbs 29:18, and it says, when people do not accept divine guidance, they run wild. But whoever obeys the law is joyful. And so what happens is God's been speaking to us, right, as a community, and he's given us these big picture ideas. He's like, great vision for what he's going to do for Red Bluff and the world and how his kingdom is going to break in. But what he's also given us is a way to do it, right? He's actually given us a way in which we can engage and practical steps in which we can do that. And he's done that by a thing called the Bible. And it's pretty neat and it's pretty handy sometimes. But in there, we actually find the way in which God wants us to engage in his mission. A quote that I love says it like this: a dream becomes a goal when action is taken towards its achievement. So God's not going to pick us up out of bed every morning and like physically like take one step like this and like this, right? He's not going to do that because that's not what being in a relationship is about, right? That's not what it's about. And so he wants us to be in relationship with him. And so the way in which we can do that is by engaging in Scripture and seeing what he's done for us and what he's doing with us and where he's taking us, right? And so we've got the steps there in front of us. And so it's like, oh, cool, okay, that put a huge weight off, right? It's just like the best thing in the world. So, you know, when it comes to the goals now that we see in Scripture and moving forward this year, how are we going to achieve more Jesus? How are we going to achieve more mission? How are we going to achieve more growth? These are the ways in which we're going to do it as a family, and not just this year, but always until Jesus decides he's coming back, right? We're just going to continue until Jesus says, okay, because we don't decide when it ends, Jesus does. And so we're going to continue, and so more decisions to follow Jesus, number one, right? We want more people deciding to follow Jesus for the first time, right? That's what it's about. That's why we exist as a church. Luke always emphasizes this. We exist as a church not for ourselves, but for others. And so there's like 42 churches in the community, right? But that means there are thousands that are not in church in this. There's what, 15,000 people in Red Bluff. Someone told me it was like over 20,000 in the greater area. I don't know how true that is. I know 15,000, so we're going to go with 15,000. But that means there are thousands of people who have never come to know Jesus and the transforming love that he has for them. They've never encountered that in their lives. Because as you guys know, when you encounter the love of Jesus, you are never the same person. Never. And so why would we want to keep that for ourselves? We don't. We want to extend God's grace out beyond these four walls, right? We want to not come here for ourselves. We want to go out into the community. We gather every Sunday to go out. We are commissioned to go out and spread the gospel and engage with people and invite them into God's love. We are, if there's, as you guys know, we always want to be welcoming. We always want to be welcoming. And so most people that have come to this church have come through a personal invitation. Okay, I'm involved with social media. Luke and I help do that. And that's actually a great platform to engage in God's mission, right? Because through social media, we can actually reach people who we wouldn't be able to reach normally. However, that's a small piece of the pie. Because the stats show that 81% of people who come to the church on a Sunday come because of personal invitations. And so that is the number one way in which we can engage in that mission for more people to come to know Jesus. Because on a Sunday morning, what we do is we open up a space for the Holy Spirit to be present, to come in and change our lives, right? That we can come in contact with God's presence. And what we do when we invite people to a Sunday morning, we're actually extending that invitation. We're saying, this is not just for me, but we're actually here for everyone else. And so a personal invitation, it could be someone that you've just met. It could be a coworker that you thought would never want to come to church in a million years. But after all the research that we've done and the people that I've spoken to, most people say they would come to church if someone invited them, right? Not in a weird way, not in a condemning, like, you need to go to church. Don't do that. Please, Lord Jesus, don't do that, okay? Please. If you do, don't say you're part of the vineyard. Don't invite them to this church. Invite them to some other church, okay? But just like a really kind way to welcoming is just like just very gently and sensitively. You don't have to bulldoze over them to invite them to church. We've got invitation cards that we have on the Connect station at the back that you can pick up and we'll always have available. You'll always see them lying around. Take as many as you want. I carry a wad in my wallet and I give it out to people during the week. Right, because you don't know who's going to come. You don't know where people are at. We don't know where people are at. But it's not our job to know exactly what is going on in their lives. It's our job to invite them into God's story. Right? Okay. More baptisms. We had 32 baptisms last year. And yes, we want more. Because there are thousands of people who have not been baptized. And so we want more baptisms. Baptisms is another place in which the Holy Spirit is present with people who are getting baptized. Most people, you speak to anyone who's been baptized and they will say it was an experience, right? And it's not, we don't get baptized for the experience. We get baptized because we are being obedient. But when we are obedient to Jesus and following him, the experience comes with that. Right, and so we actually encounter the Holy Spirit in baptisms, and it's actually, like I said, scriptural. Matthew 28:18-19, I have been given, all, this is Jesus talking to his disciples right before he ascends into heaven, and he says, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. All authority, okay, not just over the church, he has been given all authority of heaven and earth, okay. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. So the first part we've already covered, right? More people deciding to follow Jesus, right? But the other part of that, again, the two-engine analogy, is that being baptized. And I love how Jesus says in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And so what we're actually doing, if you think about it, is we're baptizing them in a Trinitarian reality. Now, that sounds like a massive mouthful, but it's actually, we're being baptized into a reality we weren't in before, right? And there's something mysterious about that. There's something really awesome, and there's something that we can never quite fully explain, right? And it's mysterious, but that doesn't make it any less real or life-changing. And so at the Vineyard, we really believe that baptisms are part of our discipleship and in decisions to follow Jesus. And so, yes, we want more baptisms. If you have not been baptized, we would love to talk to you, to talk you through it, to see why you want to be baptized or why you should be baptized. And we've got a class coming up in February called the Kingdom Identity class. Phil was speaking about that in the announcement. And that's his lane. He's like all about identity. Because if we don't know who we are, we're not going to know where we're going. Right? And so if we're going to engage in God's mission, we've got to know who we are. And so that's why when, as we grow, we're going to keep on coming back to going, hey, do we know who we are? Because we don't want to lose ourselves when we're engaging in our mission. But when we know who we are, we can actually engage in God's mission. And so when we know the part that God has given us each individually and as a community to play in his kingdom, wow, things, I mean, lives change, right? And so the Kingdom Identity class is going to focus just on that, and then it's going to lead into baptisms. We're having baptisms on the 25th of February. And if you haven't been baptized, I really encourage you to come to this class. If you haven't been baptized, I really encourage you to come to this class. All right, how's everyone doing? I need some water, so give me a second. If some of you know me, I'm a massive coffee snob, and while we were away, I was with two people that do not like coffee. They don't respect coffee. The first thing that I do when I go away to another town is I go onto Yelp, and I look up local coffee shops, because I'm a millennial, okay? And I check them out, see the ones that are rated the highest, and I'm like, that's where I'm going, okay? I was with two people, right, and we drove past three coffee shops both mornings, and where did we go?
Starbucks.
It was the most soul-crushing thing of my whole time there. I know, and there's nothing I could do about it. Unfortunately, I've come to the land of the free where democracy rules. So anyways, I just want a place where I can just let my inner hipster out, right? And a local coffee shop, that's the place to do it. Anyways. Okay, fourth thing, more core group attendance. Core groups are places where community happens. We gather on a Sunday morning, right? And it's only for a short time, hour and a half max. And we can't see everyone in that time, especially if you are new, right? Coming on to a Sunday morning service, if you're new, can be very, very scary, right? It can be a place that's very intimidating. If you've never stepped into a church before and you come in here, honestly, we probably look like weirdos. Okay, because we're facing a wall, lifting our hands up and singing to nothing. Okay, normally it's like the band is playing for the people in a concert and then the people are just like there to enjoy it. No, we're actually engaging, right? To what, if you don't know what we're doing, I would probably walk out. So then it's a huge step for new people to come in. And a way in which those people will feel part of the community is for them to get immediately plugged into a core group. But not only that, it's also a place where if you've been here a long time, you'd get to experience meeting those new people and forming new relationships. Because those relationships can't always happen here on a Sunday morning. Some of the most memorable life transformation things that have happened to me has not happened on a Sunday morning. As much as this is an amazing place to come as community and gather, it's actually the small things on everyday life levels where you can go to someone's home and have a cooked dinner and say, man, my kids are driving me crazy. I'm not there yet, but I've heard it all the time. And I'm preparing for it, okay? And so I'm just like, and it can be a place where if you break down on the side of the road, you can call one of the people in your core group, say, hey, I need a ride, right? And we've got countless stories of that happening, and we're going to be having core groups in March. And what we're saying this year is, like, when you really boil it down as well, what core groups are about, it's a place where you get to gather together to talk about Jesus with friends, And it's that simple. Like, again, we're placing Jesus at the center, right? So it's a community that's uniquely situated to place Jesus at the center, that's just a bit smaller than a Sunday morning gathering. And so we really encourage everyone here to participate in a core group. We had over 100 people last time, but we've grown since then. And so we really, if you can't or whatever, that's completely fine. We've got so many other ways, but core groups are an amazing place to meet new people, form relationships, and be transformed by Jesus in community. Last one, okay. Man, I'm doing good on time. Okay, cool. Last one is we want to equip leaders. Luke's spoken a lot about this. And it sort of ties in with the vision we have of like moving from surviving to thriving. And you know, the journey that we've had in the past 2 years is literally going from do you breathe, like Luke said, like he mentioned it the other week, it's like, do you breathe? Go stand there, like type of thing, right? And that's actually an amazing time. And some of the most joyous times come from those places. But we also know that God is moving us into a place where we can go from not just are you breathing, but are you thriving? And we want to move into that place where your gifts and your talents are being utilized to the max for God's kingdom. Because that's where you're going to find life. That's where you're going to find out, continue to find out who you are in Jesus. And so our job here as leaders in the vineyard is that we actually want to serve you and help equip you so that you can go out into your everyday life and engage in God's kingdom. Both individually again and as a community we can do that. Jesus always sent people in groups of two, right? And so it's not just an individual thing. And this often stops people is because they think, We only think of like, oh, well, I've got to do. But actually, we've got a whole community here, right? Where we can take one person and go and engage in God's mission outside of a Sunday, right? It doesn't just have to be you. And so we want to equip you. A really great analogy is this triangle. As we grow, if we don't have a base, right, it's going to topple. Have you ever seen a triangle with a small base and then it's trying to grow? It's going to topple, right? And so that base is a base of leaders that are engaging. And what leadership is and what it will never surpass is serving. We believe that leaders are servers here at the Vineyard. And so when you see a leader, you'll probably see someone serving, right? Because that's what we believe is the number one priority of leaders. It's to serve others and put others before themselves. And with that comes a cost, right? Because we're not having it our way. We're actually saying, I'm putting you before my needs. And so at the Vineyard, we believe that is leadership, putting others before ourselves. And so we want to equip people. And that's more complicated than it sounds. It sounds easy. And in the moment, you're like, yeah, that sounds awesome. But then you actually get around to doing it into the nitty-gritty and stuff, and it's actually really messy. Because you have to do it in community. And it's going to expose some personal pride, right? And stuff like that. And that's what the church is for. And so we want to equip people to be able to engage in God's mission. And I just want to encourage you, we have a equip class coming up on the 3rd of February. Here in the announcement video, it said Lance Pitluck was going to be with us. He's a vineyard pastor from Anaheim Vineyard. It was the first vineyard ever planted. And he's been the lead pastor. He's got over like nearly 40 years of experience. And he's just going to come and sit with us, share stories, share his experience as what it means to be a leader in the kingdom of God. And it's open to everyone. So you don't have to have some special qualifications to come. We want everyone to come to it on the 3rd of February. And another way in which you can engage, join a team. We have amazing, amazing teams that are set up and make a Sunday morning happen. If you're not part of a team, I really encourage you to join a team. I actually sat down last night and I made a list, right? And here we go. Are you ready? Are you ready? Okay, here's the list. If something from this list actually speaks to you, I really encourage you to write it down on the Connect card. Okay, so we've got the coffee team, we've got a sound and slide team, we've got a greeting team, a hosting team, a Connect Station team, a kids church team, a crisis care team, a pastoral care team, a security team, a buildings maintenance team, a cleaning team, an outreach team, a multimedia team. Pause. A photography team, an announcement team, a youth team, a worship team, and I forgot this in the last service, and I love the man because he just gave me a water, and the usher team, right? And you should join that just to get to know Jack because he's amazing and he leads it. But we have amazing teams that happen on a Sunday morning that actually engage in God's kingdom. And we want you to know that there's always going to be a place for you here at the Vineyard. If you feel like you don't have a place, we want to connect with you. Because if there's not a place for you, we want to make space, right? And we're always going to do that because we want to engage in God's mission, and this is one of the ways in which we do it. And so we would love to see you being, everyone being part of a team. Okay, let's see where we are here. I think we got through all of them. Okay, is everyone doing okay? Yep, whoop, 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 whoop. Okay, ways to engage. We've got multiple ways to engage. And this, you know, sometimes it's hard for me to say, because we've got a new text number, and sometimes when I say that, I mean, it just looks like an advertisement. Yeah, text us at this and you'll get this free thing. You won't get a free thing, I'm sorry. But we have gift bags in the corner that we would love to give to you if you're new. But this is a new way in which you can text us at any time. If you have a prayer request, if you want to be part of a team, I really encourage you guys to put this number in your phone because it's one of the easiest ways to get in contact with us. If you want to be a part of a team, if you have a prayer request, or anything else that comes to mind or whatever, this is a way in which you can connect. I'm so glad we have this number now. Another way that you can connect is to fill out the Connect cards. We are always going to have some available by the Connect station in the back, and we're always going to make them available in our bulletins when you walk in. And you can fill that out at any time. We normally ask people to put it in the offering basket when they come past, but you can also just give it to us at the Connect station. Or there's a box there in the corner that you can just drop it in on your way out. So there's multiple ways. If you're ever lost about or need to ask anything about anything, we are going to be there for you at the Connect Corner on the Sunday morning. And then the last way is you can come see us at the Connect Corner on the Sunday morning. Okay, cool. I just got ahead of myself there. But yeah, you know, when I was praying through this and last night, I really felt like God put something on my heart, and I think it's because it was a personal thing at first, and he said to me, Wesley, don't numb yourself to the change. Don't numb yourself to change. I've moved a lot in my life. I've made big moves. And I think God was gently saying, you know, sometimes it's a lot easier to numb yourself than to deal with the change. Moving to Houston was a massive change, and then moving to Red Bluff was another change, right? And sometimes I forget to be present in what's happening because I don't want to deal with it. And so I sometimes just disconnect and I say, I'm just going to pretend like this isn't all happening and I'm not going to think about how it's affecting me, how I'm feeling about it. Again, it's like, how is my inner person doing? Like, how am I doing on the inside, right? It's so easy to not realize how we are doing personally when there's so much else going on around us. Right, both in our personal lives, in our family lives, as a church, as a community, as of Red Bluff, just being part of the town, right? And God was just saying, and I was just like, I've become a crier, and I was just like, tears were coming down. And I don't know if you guys have this, but sometimes I get like a memory that pops up when I cry. And for me, the memory is crying when I watched Free Willy when I was 5 years old. So weird. I think I still have issues because my mom took me to see that. And I was like, this is the worst movie in the world. Why would you bring me to this? This is not for kids. This movie is for people who want to be tortured. I mean, you don't want to watch a whale being tortured. Like, what are you doing to me? And I ran out the theater crying. Anyways, that came to my mind last night when God was doing this all with me. And I love that, actually, because, like, you're not disconnected from your everyday life when you interact with God. It's not like you go to the spiritual mountaintop where everything else is just, like, gone away. Nope, free willy pops into your mind when God's talking to you. And so, but what I also felt God say was that it's the same thing for us as a community. You know, we're never going to arrive somewhere. We're never going to arrive at a place. You know what our final destination is? Being here on earth with Jesus when he comes back to renew all things and bring the fulfillment of his kingdom, where we will dine and feast the heck out of it, where we will celebrate, we will be joyful, we'll get to sit with Jesus, eat some bread, some salad maybe, big fat steak, I don't know what it's going to be like. But that's our final destination. Our final destination is not growing the church to 1,000 people. Our final destination is not having the best coffee station in the world, which we will have one day. But that's not the final destination, right? That's our final destination. And until that happens, guess what? There's always going to be change. And we're always going to be changing. And so this morning I just felt like God, and I'm going to ask Dan to come up right now, actually. Hey, Dan. Dan's one of our worship leaders, and I'm very thankful for him. We've been singing a song, Relentless Love, this past month, and I just felt like this would be an amazing time and moment to be present to the change that is happening with us as a community, to not remove ourselves from it, but to engage with it. And you know how we can engage with it? Is by allowing God to minister to us, where we can be honest and vulnerable and open with God about where we are at. There's a lot of change happening, and that's never going to go away. And Jesus is saying that's always going to be part of being a follower of him. And with pain comes loss, with pain comes grief, right? With change comes where you feel like this isn't normal, this isn't comfortable. Right? And so why don't you all stand with me right now? And I just want to encourage you right now as we sing a couple of verses and the chorus. I encourage you right now to receive. You know, we live so much of our lives giving. And when we do that, we can't be present always. So right now, I just encourage you to be present to what God is saying to you, to the way in which the Holy Spirit is talking to you. And I actually encourage you guys, if you want, it's just an invitation. But we do this when we ask for the Holy Spirit to come. And it's just our way of posturing and saying, we welcome your presence right now, Holy Spirit. And we say, speak to us. Allow your love to just flow over us. Allow your love to just come and meet us where we're at. That we can grieve. Where we can experience loss. Where we can experience sadness, but where we can also be joyful if we want to be, where we can also experience happiness in your kingdom. But we don't want to escape whatever you're doing. We want to be present to where you are. We want to be present to where we are with ourselves.